Pacifico, Bill Henry.
877-876-7445. It is our news and information hour. Phil Henry here, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And you were interested in that story I was telling, Bud?
Yeah, find out the name of that guy.
Well, all right, so I got to tell the audience that I was talking to Dan during the news break, because we were listening to some ZZ Top, and I said to him that I'd seen ZZ Top at the Forum years ago, man.
What was the album?
The album was the one that had Sleeping Bag on it. I don't know if you guys remember that one. So,
What kind? What bag?
Bud, don't start pissing me off, okay?
Not a bag.
Yeah, Sleeping Bag. That's the bag.
Is that your bag? Like they used to say back...
Shut up. God.
Shut up, man.
Hey, Bud, what are you, trying to piss everybody off?
Just do what that kid did.
Well, don't do what the kid did. So anyway, I saw ZZ Top, and we're in the Forum Club, this club at the Forum, which it's saying the words the Forum, it feels good because, you know, now we have Staples Center here in the city of Los Angeles, and I don't know what the hell they have at the Forum now. I guess, do they have anything? All of the teams play at the, all of the basketball teams and the hockey teams, one hockey team plays at the Staples Center. So anyway, I'm in that private club. Now, there was a movie years ago called Taps. I don't know if anybody remembers the movie Taps. And in the movie was a little fat actor who played one of the kids in the military academy, as fate would have it. It wasn't anything that I was planning on talking about, because I was actually talking about ZZ Top, and somehow we got onto the concert that I went to.
You said it was really loud.
Yeah, it was. My ears were ringing for days after that show. I mean, for days. I thought there was a point there where I thought I was going to lose my hearing. Honest to God. So anyway, we go to the Forum Club, and it was, I don't know whether it was between the opening act and ZZ Top coming on, and this little actor from that movie Taps is in there, the little fat guy, and he's hitting on my girlfriend. Now, at the time, I was living with... a young lady, she was a colleague, a fellow professional, and she was working at a radio station. I was working at another radio station. In fact, she was the one, she was working at the better radio station because she got the tickets for the show.
She was working at a radio station you wish she was working at.
Pretty much, yeah. So this little fat clown is hitting on her. And every time I would look at him as if to sort of maybe warn him off a little bit.
Why didn't she do something? She's any kind of woman at all. She'd have discourage it.
She was. I mean, she was sort of she was throwing me glances and laughing at him. But the thing that made me angry was he was throwing me glances and laughing.
Maybe he was hot for you.
Will you shut up with the joke?
That's funny. Shut up, man.
Come on. So that always stayed in my mind because I thought, and my thought was it was probably rather immature of me to think this, but nonetheless, I did think it. I thought that there might have been a sense of entitlement that this guy had because he was perhaps a well-known actor. I didn't know his name. To this day, I don't know his name, but I did recognize him, and maybe he felt entitled to just hit on someone's girlfriend and thought it was funny looking at me. That's the part that really bothers you, you know?
Yeah, why don't you kick his ass? Yeah, what are you sitting there talking about it, man? You're burning daylight.
Because I'm not going to kick some guy's ass for necessarily disrespecting me if my girlfriend is, you know, she's aware of it. She was handling it. What do you want me to do, man? You want to start a fight in the middle of the Forum Club?
Yeah, I would, man. The guy's sitting there, hey, ha, ha, hitting on your girl and everything. Did he touch her butt or anything? Because that'd be surefire throwdown time.
No, he didn't touch her butt. It was one of those twilight periods, you know.
What do you mean twilight zone?
I didn't say twilight zone. Now, did I? I said it was sort of this area of, he's not quite, you know, he's not doing anything that's upsetting her. He was joking.
Maybe he wasn't hitting on her.
Oh, yes, he was, man. Believe me when I tell you. I got to find this guy's name, and then we can embarrass him. And for all I know, he's a big producer and probably, you know, with like whatever aspirations I have in film or TV, he'll just absolutely... nip them in the bud. So
yeah, nice going.
Yeah, good move for me to bring it up. Anyway, welcome back to our world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, tomorrow we have episode 12 of our free Phil Henry podcast rolling out. Go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com. Follow the link there on the banner and download the hell out of it, baby. Download it to like you've never downloaded anything before in your life. Get them all. Get all 11. Get all 12. We've got 12 of them, and we're going to have more. Two a week. Monday and Thursday is free podcast day. So just make a mark on your calendar. Oh, Phil, it's his free podcast. Boom, baby. And you get a taste of what we do here on the Phil Henry Show, and you also get a nice taste of what's happening on our website. Then you go over to the website, get a backstage pass. That's how that works. Early ancestors. Of all the stories that I saw, this, of course, is the one that I'm going to pull out of the stack and put it right at the very top. Let me get my glasses, my wire rim glasses that make me look.
Yeah, you said lick. Yeah, it said to make me lick.
Oh, well, we can't have a mispronunciation and let that just go by the boards. You guys got to put a big spotlight on it, don't you?
Yeah, let me put on my glasses that make me lick. Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. That make me look professorial. Early human ancestors chewed bark. Thank you. On to our next story.
What, is that it?
No, I'm being an ass. You know, I'm just joking around. That's all I read, though. Here's our story. Early human ancestors chewed bark. And now this from Alpo.
That'd be hysterical. Yeah, I'd just do that.
Yeah, what we ought to do is just read headlines. Read headlines and see where that gets us. You know, see just how it probably won't get us very far at all. Early human ancestor chewed bark. Don Grady, ex-Mouseketeer and My Three Sons star, dies. Now, that's not very funny. And then there's a whole bunch of other stories here that are out of order. All right, let me just do it the right way. I found this interesting. Anything having to do with the history of the human race, DNA, genetics, mitochondrial DNA, mitochondrial DNA, however it's pronounced, all of that is interesting to me. Anthropology, archaeology, sociology, psychology.
Zoology.
An early relative of humans chewed on bark and leaves, according to fossil evidence. When they say a relative of humans, what they're basically saying is this. It's a humanoid or a humanoid form that died out, that went extinct. So at any given time, there were not just the ancestors to the Homo sapien, which was, and I always hate to say this because Bud always goes, what was it called? Homo erectus. See, why don't you grow up?
Then you all grow up, man. You got to admit that's funny.
The first time it was funny. The 8 millionth time, it ain't funny anymore. Every time I say Homo erectus, I got to look at you because you're going to go, ah!
It's pretty funny, though.
Oh, Bud, you got a mind like a freaking baby. Let me just get through one story where I say Homo erectus and you don't go, ah!
Man, you got to grow up, man, if you want to be a big-time broadcaster. What are you talking about? I know what I'm doing.
Not if you're laughing like a freaking ape every time I say that. So when we talk about the relatives of human beings, we're not necessarily talking about a direct link ancestor to us. We're talking about one of many forms of humanoid types, anthropods that wandered the earth. And we're the only ones that are left, us and the primates. You know, the last one that was a distant cousin to us, Neanderthal man, they died out, 50,000 years ago, something like that?
What was that about?
Neanderthals we coexisted with Neanderthals. And technically, you might say a Neanderthal was a different species, but there were humans and Neanderthals at the same time. You can imagine, for instance, if we were alive today, if Neanderthals were alive today.
But they have suits and everything?
Yeah, would they drive cars?
Well, I just don't think that they wouldn't exist. It would be impossible for them to exist.
Why?
Because of the nature of our two species, what happened was, if they were still around, that would mean that they had some quality that made them highly competitive to us for the things that keep people and species alive. You understand? So in other words, if Neanderthals were still here, then first of all, they would have had to have been more adaptable than they were. They would have to be more of a competition for humans. And for us to reach this point of our evolution and Neanderthals to be here too, we would have had to have reached some accommodation with them on how we're going to share this planet, man, because they did die out.
I don't understand.
I know you don't understand. I barely understand. The fact is they died out because they were no match for humans. We were the ones that got all of the food source. We were the ones that hunted the herds. We were the ones that got all of the crops gathered. We were the ones that learned how to fish. We were the ones that learned how to adapt better. Neanderthals just were no match. And they finally went extinct. All of the food was gone.
Why didn't human being, man, be more Christian about it? What are you talking about? I wasn't no Christian.
There wasn't any Christianity then. But besides, human instinct is not to just go, oh, well, baby, let me give you something to eat.
Yeah, it is, man. It's like a Hurricane Katrina and everything.
Well, you're talking about a very evolved human. You're talking about a very evolved human being, an evolved human society. This was way back, Robert, way back before we even were farmers. This was back when we were still hunter-gatherers. And the first thing we're going to think about is, I got to feed my kid, I got to feed my mate, I got to feed my clan. To hell with those Neanderthals, man. Let them starve.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It ain't Christian.
There wasn't any Christians back then, man.
Don't you know Jesus didn't come along for another couple hundred years?
Couple of hundred? We're talking tens of thousands.
What?
Years, man.
What are you yelling for?
Yeah, because you guys are pissed. Every time.
Mr. Hall.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hall. You say it just like a little girl. Yeah, David.
What are you yelling at him for?
Because every time he goes, Mr. Hall, Mr. Hall. Well,
I'm just saying, what are you yelling at everybody for?
I'm trying to say, I'm going to say something to you, okay?
What?
When I'm on the air and I'm talking about stuff, I don't want these guys butting in over and over and over again.
Tell them to shut up.
What do you think I'm doing, man? I'm telling them to shut up.
And they're not shutting up.
No! Every time I get into a story,
you said you want us to.
Yeah, well, you said you didn't mind. You thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny at the beginning when these cats were just weighing in every couple of times in a story. But every freaking sentence, man, I can't get two sentences in. And here's Bud with this. And every, by the way, that's something else. His juvenile mentality with this Homo erectus.
What'd you say?
It was an early species of man.
That's another thing. You and these egghead topics, man, you got to get back down in the dirt. Let's talk about stuff people care about. Talk about that bachelorette. Let's get into some of that. Did you do the Bachelorette? Have you done the Bachelorette?
No, I haven't done the Bachelorette.
Good. You're a gentleman. you like it? You see, years ago...
All right, we're going to take a break because I just hung up on David Hall, and that felt good. We'll be right back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and, of course, it's our News and Information Hour with Bud and Robert. We're at philhenryshow.com.
Truth,
we'll be right back.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And a couple of other things that we want to talk about. So anyway, our early ancestor chewed bark.
You've got to finish that story.
Oh, I'd love to finish the story without your big fat mouth. You going to keep your mouth shut?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean to do nothing bad.
Just be quiet, man. You know.
Yeah, but you ought to ignore it, man. You ought to pay attention to it.
Oh, well, listen to the advice here.
Yeah, well, it is true.
Listen to the advice.
I mean, I'm just telling you, man. You ought to be a little more, mature and everything, not even, focus on it.
Oh, is that what I ought to do? What else should I do?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, man.
No. Now I want to know, you know, tell me. Let me learn from you. Please, Robert, tell me how I should run the show. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, man. Every time you say to him, hey, quit doing that, you fixate and focusing on him.
Just let me do the show, okay?
He's right, though.
Why don't you shut up? All right. Early human ancestor chewed bark.
See? Just what I told you, man. You're getting distracted. Because you're already thinking about him saying Homo erectus, and he ain't even said it yet.
I ain't worried about him saying it. It's when I say it.
Same difference.
Hey, Bud. Do that again, and I'll punch you.
What?
What you just did.
You mean...
Yeah, I didn't think I'd do it, huh?
I'm going to tell.
Oh, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell, man?
Tell Mr. Hall.
Oh, go ahead and tell Mr. Hall. I told you, I'd belt you the next time you did that.
Yeah, my nose is probably broken.
I hope it is broken.
You want me to get some ice?
No, let him get some ice. I'll come in there and kick your ass again.
Bam, you nailed him.
What did I say? You guys think I'm kidding here? He's sitting there going, ee-ee. Boom. I told him. I told both of you guys.
Ee-ee.
See, it doesn't work, man.
Bud, just get out of here, man. Just get out of here. Early human ancestor chewed bark. An early relative of humans chewed on bark and leaves, according to fossil evidence. Analysis of food trapped in the teeth of the 2-million-year-old southern ape suggests it existed on a unique diet of forest fruits and other woodland plants.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
What was that, man?
I think iTunes.
Turn iTunes off, will you? I don't like iTunes. I don't want to hear iTunes mentioned. Do you understand me?
Well, yeah.
Just turn it off. I don't like iTunes.
Why?
Because I told you, because their player sucks. The iTunes player, S-U-C-K-S, sucks.
What's that spell? I didn't do nothing.
You keep talking, man. The first fossils of Australopithecus sediba, discovered in South Africa in 2008, were hailed as a remarkable discovery. Teeth from two individuals were analyzed in the latest research focusing on patterns of dental wear, carbon isotope data, and plant fragments from dental tartar. Are you ready for that? We can figure this stuff out. This is some really old fossil, man. How old is this fossil? They don't say? Come on, man. Anyway, this was into the evolution of what could have been a direct human ancestor. They're not sure whether this is a direct human ancestor or at least one of our relatives. They found this thing back in 2008. I mean, it's probably probably millions of years old. Millions of years old. Because the face on this thing, it looks like a regular ape. Dr. Amanda Henry of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany, led the research. Now, there's a very interesting story behind the name of that school, by the way. Max Planck was a guy that was hailed by the Nazis, believe it or not, for some of his beliefs. I don't even know why they still have this guy's name on an institute, although I may be feeling, you know, I may be saying something that isn't fair. Maybe the family had no choice but to be associated with them. In any event, we've for the first time been able to put together three quite different methods for reconstructing diet and gotten one cohesive picture of the diet of this ancient species, and that picture is really quite different from what we've seen in other hominins. Human ancestors. That's exciting. We're seeing a lot more variation among these species than we'd expected. Human ancestors from around this time period were probably exploring a wide variety of habitats. Each species was finding its ecological niche, if you will, a few hundred thousand years before the evolution of Homo erectus. A few hundred thousand years. The evolution of Homo erectus was what, like 100,000 years, something like that? I ought to know this. Homo erectus, which spread out of Africa into many different habitats around the world, heralding a milestone in human evolution. Dr. Henry said the Australopithecus sediba walked on two legs, but probably also spent time foraging in the trees.
What's that mean?
I think what that means is that these early ancestors of ours walked on two legs, but they also had feet like hands. You ever seen a monkey's feet?
Yeah, they look like they got a thumb or something.
Exactly. So our early ancestors had developed the ability to walk on two legs, which is a major step, was a huge, huge step in the development of our species because no other creature on Earth does it.
What about birds?
You back?
Well, yeah.
I'm telling you, get out of line, man. I'll belt you again. What about what?
What about birds?
Birds only got two legs, man. They haven't got two hands. And if you say wings, that's the wings are not hands, man. Birds don't use wings to, like, you know, pick things up. They use them to fly. Birds only have two legs. And they locomotive, or whatever the hell it's called, they use their locomotion with the wings to fly. All right, so there's another 15 minutes blown. Wow.
That ain't my fault.
All right, we'll get back. Let's just start the whole hour all over again when we come back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. There is stuff, and one of the stuffs is Eric Holder and the possibility of a contempt citation and the battle brewing between the executive branch once again and all those marvelous guys in the Congress. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our News and Information Hour, which is when I let Robert and Bud talk, and maybe that's been a mistake, you know?
I swear to God, man, I'm sorry. I ain't going to talk too much.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, well, if I believed you guys really meant that...
I swear to God, I do.
Yeah, I do, too.
Because I've let you guys be a part of this hour, and I've been repaid with blah, 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 a bunch of smart-ass stuff. Every time I say homo erectus, I can't talk about certain stories, you know. And you, Bud, working both sides of the street against the middle.
What do you mean?
You calling up David and, oh, Phil's doing this and that. So I just as soon kick you guys out of here if you don't, behave.
Well, I mean.
What do you mean, well, you mean?
You sure you want to do that?
If I got to do it, yeah, I'll do it. Why?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, you know. Things have changed a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, it could be that we're, you know, maybe bringing some audience in.
Oh, well, that's how it's going to be, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, one hand washes the other.
Yeah, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
Oh, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Huh? So you guys think you're the stars, is that it?
I think maybe that
there'd probably be some changes around here.
Really? Well, I guess I can get up and leave then, huh?
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, I mean...
Oh, well, no. I mean, if you guys are the stars of the show, far be it from me to interrupt what you're doing.
I'm just saying, you know, you gotta remember it.
No, get David on the phone. I'm gonna talk to him.
Well, no, seriously, Phil, I...
Get David on the phone. I want to talk to him.
But...
Is that it? David?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, listen, David, it turns out that Bud and Robert, I don't know if you know this or not, they're the big stars of this show.
Well, I mean, the guys had talked to me about the fact that they might want some more money.
Well, I don't want to stand in their way. I don't want to stand in their way, you know? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let them do the remainder of the show and...
Wait. Hold on. Don't go off half-cocked, okay?
No, I'm not going off half-cocked. I mean, they just got done telling me there's going to be some changes around here.
I just said that, they've been featured prominently, and there's been positive response. And
well, if there's positive response, then maybe they can just do the show by themselves. What do you think of that?
Look at Phil. I'm just trying to...
No. That's fine. I'll go ahead, I'll get up, and I'll split, and I'll let them do the rest of the show. Thanks a lot, David.
Wait a second! Are we on the air?
Yeah, he walked out.
I don't know what to do.
All right, don't cry and don't panic. Where is he?
He's outside.
He's outside? Is he anywhere in the studio?
No.
He walked out. I don't know how to do it. How do you want me to do it?
What do you mean? Don't worry about it. Listen, all we got to do is, hold on. Turn that off, will you, baby? Baby, turn that off, okay? All we got to do is I'll help you guys through the rest of this, okay? Don't worry about it. Bud, you're there, right?
I'm right here, yeah.
Robert? Just get the stack of news. Is this the boy? I'll kill that guy if I see him again. Get the stack of news.
What, you talking to me?
Yeah, your name's Robert, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get the stack of news, will you?
All right, I got right here.
Now, don't panic, okay? All right, what I want you to do is I want you to read one of those things off the baby. No margaritas right now, okay, honey? No margaritas. What I want you to do is read one of the stories, okay? I'm right here. Don't worry about it.
Washington Post refused Mitt Romney request.
Read it good.
Shut up, man. I am reading. Washington Post refused Mitt Romney request for retraction. Politico has determined that the Washington Post is refused to retract the article that it ran last week regarding presumptive Republican.
Let me see.
Don't quit.
Can't grab it out of his hand, okay?
Just try to see if he's doing it good.
I'm doing it good, man. About the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party.
All right, now, Bud, you grab one, and you read one, and then we'll alternate. Go ahead, Bud.
What do you mean about alternate?
Never mind, just read it.
Google helped create a world brimming with digital distraction for people spending time of their lives.
What's digital? What's that mean?
Digital, man.
Oh, digital.
All right, now see if there's any phone calls.
Yeah.
Take one. I don't care which, just take one.
All right, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Well, I'm not. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Oh, hello. I'm calling in to remark on the Google digital transitions. I was listening to your program just a moment ago.
Oh, yeah. Bud Dickman.
Oh, I'm Bud Dickman. What do you want to say?
Yes, Mr. Dickman. I heard you mentioning the digital transition of Google.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating what Google is going to try to do with these. Of course, you know. Their eyeglasses or some kind of optic aid that will enable people to access the internet in ways we've never even seen before. Quite right, huh?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, of course, the work that I've done with BMW and the hydrogen car precipitates, I think, advertising on a national scale. Eh, what?
Yeah.
And the fact that Google, having had so many public relations disasters, shall we say, relative to some of their hiring or some of their editorial content, as well as security issues, I think this is going to do them quite right, at least publicly, with the people, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed your program very much. And also you, Mr. Leonard.
Yeah.
All right, that was perfect. How much time?
No.
All right, I'm back. Get out of here.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I was listening to the disaster in the other room, man. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
What disaster? We had the thing covered.
Yeah, we were doing pretty good.
It sucked. Thanks, David.
Now, listen, when you hang up on me, it makes me look like I'm your bitch, so I don't...
Thanks, David.
You made him look like your bitch.
That's right. That's the idea. All right. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. Digital.
That's what they said.
Yeah, that's what you said, you idiot. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. Here's an interesting thing. Now, this is an interesting story that I want to read from beginning to end, and I don't want to be interrupted because we've butchered everything that we've done on the show so far. Serial rapist case uses federal DNA database. A national DNA database is turning the tide on cold cases. On Tuesday, Surfside Beach Police assisted Charlotte Police. Now, this is Surfside, North Carolina. In charging a man with three rapes that occurred, guess what the year was? 1979, folks. That is 33 years ago. 33 years ago, the long arm of the law, the long arm of justice reaches out and taps some schmuck on the shoulder and says, excuse me. Some guy who thought he'd gotten away with it. Some guy who thought, whoo. Well, I guess there are no consequences in life. The fact that I just feel guilty about it, that's good enough. I paid my dues, I've paid my time, if you will, by feeling really, really bad about this for 33 years as I went about my business of being just an overall jackass. Au contraire, mon frère. This guy was a 62-year-old Surfside Beach resident. Surfside Beach, wait a second, I know where that is, man.
Where is it?
That's around Surf City, North Carolina, you know?
Yeah, Surf City, Surfside. What a difference.
It's in the state of North Carolina. I think I know some people around there. Anyway, to link Surfside Beach resident Jerry Brooks to the crimes, police used a DNA database called the Combined DNA Index System, CODIS. You guys know this system. You've heard of it. It was put in place following 9/11. It is basically doing something that cops never did before because cops were very territorial. Cops were all about their turf. Cops were all about, excuse me, I got this, man. Don't worry about it. If I need help from you, I'll call you up and ask. One of the most notable cases of this kind of turf-conscious policing was the Manson murder cases. The LAPD and the LA County Sheriff couldn't have had their heads further up their asses when it came to communicating. To give an example, you got the LA Sheriff working the LaBianca killings. You have LAPD working the Tate murders. You have the discovery of a gun by a young boy a few months after these murders occurred. And this boy was a Boy Scout. And as a result of that, he knew how to handle a weapon that might be evidence in a crime. This kid found this thing in ivy down the side of a hill near his house. He picks it up by the trigger guard, just like he had been taught. Doesn't touch it. There might be fingerprints. Takes it back to his house, shows it to his father. His father picks up the phone. He calls LAPD. Out to the house comes LAPD. And what's the first thing that the cop does? That he starts putting his hands all over the gun. Wow, it's a really interesting gun you got here. Wow, look at this gun. And here's this little kid going, wow, I took all that precaution not to put my hands on the gun. And
maybe your fingerprints don't last that long.
Maybe they do. But meanwhile, this gun that sat at LAPD was one that the LA County Sheriff was looking for. But because there was no communication, there was no communication. Well, things have changed over the years, and especially since 9/11. Now we have police officers all over the country saying, you know, if you can help me, let's get it together and solve these crimes. I don't give a damn who gets the credit. How about that? It's pretty much like a fingerprint database in that you've got two codes sitting on a server. You submit this other set of codes, and it either matches or it doesn't, said Surfside Police Chief Mike Frederick. In 2010, more than 100,000 crimes were matched to convict felons and missing person DNA in the CODIS database. That was in 2010. In 1979, police did not have a match for the DNA. It had as evidence for what was called the ski mask rapist. So those cases went cold. I don't think they even... In 1979, did they even look for DNA? Brooks later went to prison for a bank robbery. As part of his probation when he was released, his DNA was put into the CODIS system. Charlotte police recently opened up the serial rapist file, and Brooks popped up as a clear match. Horry County Crime Scene Supervisor Peter Sestari said, if handled properly, DNA evidence can last indefinitely, even those preserved in 1979. DNA is going to be there forever. It's going to be there long after you and I are gone, said Lieutenant Sestari. Right now, three Horry County cold cases sit in the database waiting for a match. Sestari said advancements in DNA technology have led states to increase the amount of time a suspect can be tried. DNA has changed the statute of limitations on so many crimes because the DNA may not present itself for 20 years. I'm telling you, it's an amazing science. It's just amazing. And, there was a case that I saw here not too long ago. This thing was a mind blower. They finally found the DNA match on a girl that was killed in the late 60s. Now, you ready for this? This girl's body was found. She was either a hitchhiker. No, I'll tell you what. She advertised for, back in those days, people used to say, I'm interested in anybody traveling from this place to that place. And someone would call you up and say, oh, I'm going there. Oh, great. Well, I'll ride with you, and I'll share the gas. People did that. They would take out ads in newspapers. This young woman did this, and today it sounds insane, doesn't it? But, and she got a ride with this guy, and, well, Now, nobody knew this. They found her body. They didn't know who she got a ride with or what. But they did find this DNA, or at least they found blood evidence, some kind of evidence. And they preserved this. They held on to it. They held on to it for, we're talking 40-plus years. What they held on to, basically, was just the clothing of this young woman that had some of this physical evidence on it. When we finally had reached the stages of DNA testing that we have today, they went and pulled this out of the cold case. They said, we have this young woman who was killed. They ran the DNA through their database. They got two hits. Two. One of them was of a traveling salesman who was traveling, it just so happens, in that area at that particular time, and guess what? Now, we're going to take a break here. Let me just finish the story. The other DNA was of a boy who was only 3 years old at the time.
What?
Yeah. A guy who's in prison now. That's just not a coincidence. The lab blew it. And when I say they blew it, what I mean is they contaminated this evidence, and they got someone else's DNA on it. The someone else's, this three-year-old boy. Well, he wasn't 3 years old. He is an inmate in the state of Michigan, and his DNA, or some of the blood that they used to test DNA, got onto these pantyhose. But it was impossible. A three-year-old boy didn't kill a college-age woman. I'll finish the story. We got to take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We come back. I'll sort of unravel it for you.
That's the nuttiest thing that I ever heard.
Yeah.
Truth is our bitch.
Here's another nutty thing. The Phil Hendry Show.
What?
You're hired, bud.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. So how'd you like that story?
Yeah, that's pretty weird. That's kind of hard to believe.
Well, what happened was this. And if I'm getting a little... You guys can check this out. But what happened was this. We're picking up this story that I was telling you before the break about DNA. And we were talking about the DNA evidence that is preserved that can crack these cases, these cold cases. I mean, Dan and I were just talking. I mean, this DNA technology and its ability to match a suspect to a crime is the most revolutionary thing to come along since maybe fingerprinting, and maybe it's even bigger than that. Fingerprints were big, being able to match fingerprints to human beings. And, of course, the deciders, is it admissible in court? Is it, like, lie detector tests are not admissible in court.
Why do they do them, man?
They do them. Cops use lie detector tests to give them a feel for something. You can't convict a guy on a lie detector result. Can't do that. But it'll damn sure put cops on your ass if you fail one. That in combination with other things.
Yeah, but what if you're innocent?
If you're innocent, you're innocent. I mean, they're going to have to come up with something else. They can't just take you to... No DA is going to charge you based upon a lie detector. Ain't going to happen. So there's nothing to worry about there if you're innocent. And a lot of innocent people fail lie detector tests because, after all, it's the guy who doesn't have a conscience, the guy who doesn't react to the suffering of others, the guy who doesn't have a normal personality, he's more likely to pass a lie detector test because you can say to him, did you kill Mary Brown with a hatchet? And he'll say no, and you won't see any reaction in terms of his cardiovascular system, the rate of his breathing, his pulse rate, nothing, you know. But what happened in this case in Michigan was the following thing. The jury was not stupid. They knew that the DNA of a man who was in his 20s or 30s at the time, who they had sitting right in front of them, was found on this woman's pantyhose. It was sweat DNA, I think, some kind of DNA. He was perspiring over this woman as he was moving her body after having killed her. And they know that guy is sitting right in front of her, in front of them. They know that he was a traveling salesman at the time. They know he was in the state of Michigan at the time. They know that he was in that area at that time. He was traveling by car at that time. And, oh, yeah, guess what? His DNA is on her pantyhose.
Yeah, what about that kid?
All right, now the other side of that, what you're talking about, bud, is to the everlasting shame of the Michigan Crime Lab, because that's a clear case of having contaminated evidence with DNA that had nothing to do with the case. And what it was the DNA of a Michigan State inmate who was 3 years old at the time of this girl's death. Now, this defendant, his lawyer, obviously was all over that. I mean, he just went ape on that. Oh, wait a second, because you have this guy's DNA, and he was in it. Well, the jury wasn't fooled. He said, no way does a three-year-old kid kill a woman. It's obvious that the crime lab somehow mishandled.
Yeah, but why couldn't you say that they mishandled it? The other guy?
Yeah, well, they could have slapped his DNA over.
That guy had never been arrested for anything. They didn't have his DNA. They didn't have his DNA in the abundance that they had on these pantyhose. You understand what I'm saying? They had spots all over these pantyhose with this guy's DNA. They took a DNA sample just to match it against the spots on the pantyhose. But they didn't have any DNA profile on this guy other than when he was arrested and they took a swab.
How do they know they didn't take the swab and sprinkle it all over the lady's pantyhose?
Because it wasn't consistent the amount of DNA that they had from this guy in this oral swab consistent with the amount they found on the pantyhose. And the kid, the little three-year-old boy, there's no way a three-year-old boy kills a woman.
Well, you can't say absolutely.
Oh, will you get real, bud?
Yeah, man.
Why?
Get, what did he do? Crawl out of his crib and go and kill her? Are you nuts?
Yeah, but if I was his lawyer.
If you were his lawyer, you'd get laughed out of that freaking courtroom, which is almost what happened. What happened was this. The jury said, forget it, Jack. You ain't going to sell us that one. We know what happened here. They obviously contaminated somehow the pantyhose with this other person's DNA, but your client's DNA is all over this woman's clothing. And guess what? You're guilty, and you're going down for the count. So there you go. You know,
I don't know, man. That sounds kind of shady to me.
Maybe it is, but made for a really good show on ID. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. So get yourself a backstage pass and join us over there for live streaming video. Live streaming video of our show each and every night at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, as I mentioned to you guys, we have our podcast, which is the free Phil Hendry podcast, is episode 12, and that's tomorrow. I'm just checking my notes here. Episode 12 tomorrow. And until then, let that be a lesson to you. See you tonight.
Phil Hendry.